Margaret Brennan is with us from North Shore Community Health. And Margaret, welcome. Good to be talking with you again.
Thank you. You too.
Well, this is a time that there's so much happening health-wise with the coronavirus, COVID-19. So how has it impacted North Shore Community Health, which is in Salem, Peabody, Gloucester, all around the North Shore?
Yeah. So we started planning for this in January when we saw what was going on in China and knew that, in a global environment, it's only a matter of time before something like this was going to hit here. So we started planning in January, building up supplies, creating processes and building up supplies. So when things really started to hit hard here, we weren't surprised, and we may have been a little bit more prepared than other places because we just, we saw some of the writing on the wall. So how have we been responding? Well, we, when Secretary Sutter's announced, I think on Friday the 13th, that Medicaid was going to pay for telephonic visits, both video and just plain old telephone visits, our team really sprang into action, and over the course of a weekend, created the ability for four of our medical providers to see their patients through telephonic visits in the safety of their own homes and the patients' own homes, which is lovely. Our patients and staff were extraordinarily grateful for that. And then by Wednesday, just 2 days later, we had transitioned to having almost 90% of our providers doing of medical providers and all of our behavioral health providers doing telephonic visits,
which is a huge change for you because and maybe tell our listeners about the scope of work that North Shore Community Health does.
Sure. Well, unfortunately, we couldn't do that with our dental practice, so we had to close our dental facilities in Salem and Gloucester. And we're doing emergency procedures only in Peabody because we really want to prevent patients from going to the emergency room. That's the worst possible outcome. And the way to do that when people have dental pain or dental emergencies is you've got to be there for them. So, but normally we would be doing primary care, so medical care, immunizations, physicals, visits for people who have chronic diseases like diabetes, hypertension. We would be doing those face-to-face in our office. We also do, we have psychiatrists, behavioral health therapists, and we do substance use treatment at all of our facilities. And we actually see about 400 patients for substance use treatment.
Now, in your buildings themselves, do you have people working, or you must have a few working in-house?
We do.
Yeah.
We do right now. We do have a few people working in all of our sites right now, except for on the dental side. However, as of Monday, we're transitioning to having people seen only at our Salem site. We're doing that because, first off, we've done such a great job of getting our patients ready for this that we're not seeing anybody on site, really. If we see a couple patients a week, that's, in the last week and a half, that's a lot. So, and we will continue to see our patients. It's just we'll do it on the telephone. Hmm. We're going to add in our video capability probably by the end of next week. So if our patients have smartphones, they'll be able to have an app, and they'll be able to see their medical or behavioral health provider. So on Monday, we'll be moving to conserve our staff, to keep our staff well. And as they get sick, if we have to, rotate staff members who are well, we can do that. Also to conserve our personal protective equipment, which is our PPE, which as most folks probably know, is running low nationally and everywhere. And we want to conserve it to make it last as long as possible. So we'll be transitioning to providing on-site care only in Salem. We'll keep our dental practice in PPD open for emergencies for a little bit longer.
The other thing too, Margaret, is I would guess here, it's not as if you're dealing necessarily with COVID-19, hopefully, but it's just the fact is that you have to you have to isolate and deal with all the other things that you would normally be dealing with. Is that a fair assessment?
It is, although we don't know what we're dealing with for COVID-19, right? People who aren't even sick are shedding the virus. So people who aren't showing any symptoms are shedding the virus. And we have had some people who have come into our clinic, and including some of our staff members who maybe one of our staff members is being tested, has been tested, and we have sent some patients who were suspected COVID cases to be tested. So we don't know. And then, of course, there's all the people who might be asymptomatic who are coming in for healthcare, or, you know, people who are experiencing flu-like symptoms. But because of the testing standards have been pretty rigid, you know, unless patients meet a very rigid set of standards to be tested, most of them weren't eligible to be tested. So we don't know how many patients we would have seen, or we have seen, who may be COVID positive. Unfortunately, we presume that they are, so we ask them to stay home and quarantine them.
No, exactly, and my question was very awkward. I get that piece, but I guess my point would be is that there are still people with health issues that you still need to be dealing with.
Absolutely, and our patients are really, really grateful that we're there for them on the phone, and actually, our providers are and our patients are. The satisfaction for the telephonic visits is pretty high because people are feeling like they actually have time with their physicians and nurse practitioners. They're not running in and have 5 minutes to talk to them. It's a full 15 minutes of talk or 30 minutes of talk, which is a lot of what, you know, primary care really is. So it's pretty amazing. Plus, we also are able to reach out to our patients who are highly vulnerable, people over 60, people with chronic diseases, and then those who are really utilizing the emergency departments a little too much, even when we're open. So we're reaching out to those folks with messages, please don't go to the emergency room. If you're sick, call us, and we will set up an appointment so you can see your doctor or nurse practitioner or physician's assistant. And if you're anxious, we have therapists who you can talk to about that too. So people are feeling pretty good about the care that we're giving right now, both from our patients and our staff.
Now, I've heard this discussed on some of the programs. Is I got to think that moving forward, this telephonic or, you know, telemed services are going to continue at some pace because they just seem to make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think the genie is out of the bottle. You can't really force it back in. And I think there's a lot that you can do over the phone and video, and it's a lot more convenient for people, right? I mean, you don't have to, if you have just 10 minutes, if you're a service sector employee, you don't necessarily get a lot of time off for sick time or even for, you know, well checks. So if you can have the capability and flexibility to have that, you know, check in with your medical provider on a regular basis, you know, it makes a lot of sense. So I'm hopeful that we can use this crisis as an opportunity to really kind of turn things around in terms of how we the model of care that we're using and think a little bit differently.
Margaret, anything else? I mean, as you watch some of the coverage, I assume that you listen to news reports, you watch things on television, you're monitoring the situation. Obviously, you're ahead of the curve, you know, for most medical, you know, organizations and so on. But is there anything that you want to shed the light on or give some insight to us that kind of unique that you might present to this?
I guess I just want people to take this very seriously. There are people in the hospitals right now, 30-year-olds who are being on ventilators. This is a disease that that can affect anyone, and it's serious. And I also want people to be thinking about people who are very vulnerable, homeless patients or homeless people, for example. We're working closely in Salem to get a different way for folks to be sheltered so they're not right next to each other, because there's no social distancing in shelters, right? We need to get our folks out of the shelters and 6 feet between them. And it's going to take all of us to really be thinking about each other, and most particularly those who are most vulnerable right now.
Mm-hmm. And finally, I guess maybe an open-ended question to you to wrap it up. Any other thoughts that you have regarding North Shore Community Health and the staff that must really have worked very hard the last couple of weeks to be where you are at right now?
Yeah, I mean, our staff has been so terrific, so flexible, so willing to innovate and step in and step up. I cannot imagine working with a more, innovative and committed and creative, a courageous bunch of people. We're lucky to have such a great staff.
Yeah, and that courageous is a very accurate word to pin on our medical people at this point, for sure. They deserve it, for sure.
Yes, it's heartbreaking to watch what's happening in hospitals, really, in New York, and in Boston, seeing what 150 healthcare workers who are infected right now. It's heartbreaking for all of us, and so we need to do what we can in our individual little bubbles to try and prevent the spread of infection.
Well, Margaret, to you, to your entire staff, keep up the great work. Be safe. And again, thanks for all you do.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Margaret Brennan from North Shore Community Health here on MSONewsSports.com.